Welcome, everybody, to this is Natalie. I should give the name to a show. Natalie Sis Meets an Artist or an Author each week on Wednesday nights from 8 to 9 p.m. I'm also known as Starscast, of course, and I own Stars with a Z, Psychics.com, MysticLivingToday.com, and PlanetStars.com. I know it sounds overwhelming, but it really isn't. I mean, when you do one, then you do another, then you do another. And so long as I don't have to have four of them, I think I'll be pretty good because I only have three monitors and I have to get another monitor. But anyways, we want to welcome tonight. His name is really Fredun Rizzulli, but we're going to just call him Rizzulli tonight. He likes to be called by that, and he's an artist and an author. And welcome, Rizzulli. How are you tonight?
Oh, great. Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, well, you know, Al is the one that introduced us, and thank you, Al, for being on the show tonight as well. It's kind of nice to have somebody that can, you know, take over and ask questions and talk a little bit besides yourself, because they hear me all the time anyways, and, you know, I can talk for an hour if I have to, like everybody knows. But I have a question for you right off the bat, Rizzulli. What is fusion art? What is that? How did you come up with that? I mean, if you look at your work, and I'm going to mention all your sites, but if anybody goes to your website, they're going to see the beautiful color array. I mean, it's very spiritual. The colors are all my colors. I'm into the blues. I love the deep blues and all that. And I looked at this stuff, and I thought, oh, my gosh, be still my heart. So beautiful. But how did you come up with fusion art?
Well, see, first of all, the word art used to mean connection. It was not an item or an action. It was connecting two things together. Art was like a bridge, was connecting the soul to the body. It's that connector that makes a perfect human. So the idea of art is really to make perfect human. So art is supposed to guide us, just like the prophets do, like the, you know, those with prophecy and talk about. So an artist's job is to connect the heart and the mind together, which has been separated. And bringing them together is going to be through feeling, that you can express them. Expression is the actual action, is the technology. Feeling is the essence. So when you make an alchemy, when you turn copper to gold, copper of being to gold, that means you make the brightness out of the darkness that is in you. You shine it, you glow it, you expand it. That is what art is supposed to do. So when this is what you're supposed to do, when the art is supposed to connect, there is no such thing as separation. So there is no such thing as ism. So I'm not into cubism or impressionism or Taoism or whatever ism, because isms only separate, because they're going to say that we are different from the rest of you. So art's idea is to connect. So fusion art is really what art is. It's about connection. It's not about a beautiful painting on a wall. It's not about nice music. It's not about a good beautiful poem or anything like that. It's to inspire you. It's all about inspiration. See, people talk to me and they say, "Are we talking too much?" Maybe.
No. I'm listening. I'm. All these questions are coming in my head. You're going to be sorry. You're talking so much. No, go ahead.
See, I'm an inspirational person, not a motivational person. I don't deal with knowledge. Knowledge is something that has brought me to this point. knowledge is what has brought you to the level that you and I are talking right now. But where do we go from here begins the journey of love, begins the journey of human being, begins the journey that we're supposed to take.
Right. So, right. Well,
my job as an artist
you do,
is to
when you do your paintings, you do a blend of everything when you create a painting, correct? You know, you,
I don't
you
even
inspire
know.
It. You don't even know how you do it. Well, it doesn't matter. I'm going to tell everybody that when I tell them about the sites, they are going to be amazed. And, before we do anything else, I want to thank Al for bringing us together here, because it's because of Al that I even knew who you were. I mean, as unreal as it is in the field that I'm in, but to be introduced to somebody like yourself, and I'm looking at all of these images that you have and all these books and your paintings, and it's just unbelievable. I mean, I could probably sit for hours, just sit in a chair, and I could just look around and gaze into one of them that would attract me to it, because if you went to my site, you'd see I love the blues, and almost the purples and the blues together and a little bit of turquoise. That's the colors that I'm drawn to. And if I found one there, that's what I do. I take my chair and sit there, have a glass of wine. Okay, I'm going to enjoy this picture because I know it's going to relate something to me. That's the beauty of what you do, because each one of them can talk to you. So when you painted it, you were inspiring. You had a vision for it, and people are going to look at it and say, "What did you get from this?" And probably everybody's going to get something different, don't you think, from everything that you've ever painted?
Thank you for answering the question that I wasn't able to answer. Fusion art. You just described fusion.
I do, yeah. I pull it from everywhere. I don't even know where sometimes my things, my information comes from. But I can't speak enough. I mean, because I'm scrolling in all of this, and so first thing I'm going to do before we go much further is I want everybody to go to razouli.com, RASSOULI.com. You're going to see his books, his paintings, his everything that he's done on this site. And there are other sites that I will mention later on, but at the beginning of the first frame of your website, you've got all these beautiful colors, and I see the one that grabs me right away. Do you know which one it is? Do you have any idea? I'm going to click on it. This is just to tell people what to do. Look, I mean, because these are all talking. They're talking to everybody. I mean, this is amazing. Do you realize what you've done? I'm so in awe. Al, you want to add to this? Don't let me do all the talking, Al. Go ahead, talk.
Russell,
I mean, you know.
Oh, wow. I love you, Al. Your concepts and whatever you reflect, always I get excited when I read them. And thank you for sharing so much beauty with the world.
You're welcome.
Go ahead, Al. I'm sorry. Don't let me take over. Just interrupt and say, Natalie, be quiet. Go ahead.
I'm going to tell the audience a story. And, Natalie, by the way, thank you for having me on the show again. I'm going to tell the audience a short story here. I've been blessed with some amazing people over the years. And as Rosalie knows, I used to have a radio show. I've had a few of them, and I've done a couple hundred shows over the years. And out of all those shows, I would say there was, at the most, 10 people that had a profound effect on me personally and also on the audience. And I would say one of the 10 is Rasuli. And I had met him through a friend of mine, and she ended up being an actress. No, it's the other way around. I met Rasuli. I met Amber through you. I'm sorry. Well, anyway, I don't remember how we connected, but I remember having you on my show. And the profound insights you shared in that show was phenomenal, and it had an impact on me personally and also with the audience that was listening to that show. And one of the things that I interviewed Natalie about a month ago, and I brought you up and this is what I told her, and you could expand on this story. But I remember you telling me, and this had a profound effect on me, I remember you telling me that once you work on a blank canvas, and as soon as you brush something, you've already destroyed it. And I remember when you said the word destroyed, I was taken aback by it because to me, destroyed was harmful. It wasn't a way of looking at things or destroyed
right.
Just didn't sound right to me. But then when you explained it, it was phenomenal. It was phenomenal, profound, and inspiring. And I was wondering if you would like to share that with this audience.
Well, let's just talk.
Well, yeah, what I said that when I look at something, you destroy it. What did I say exactly? I don't recall it at all.
Well, actually, it's
what
did I
say?
That said it.
Oh, okay. Okay.
It was Arthur that said it. And you were
okay.
Flabbergasted by that.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, that would be me. That would be something that would take me aback. It really, really would. But I can't say enough about all this. I mean, I could just stare at all of these frames that are on your one site and keep clicking, go latest, all the galleries. And what? Tell me about how you got started in this. Let's go back to how did you begin even painting or drawing? How did you start off? I mean, I think all artists, and they're not like you. I mean, I think you're unusual. I mean, I think there are others out there, but for me, when I think of an artist, I think of like Van Gogh or, you know, and some of their stuff was kind of like blah to me. But then again, I'm so spiritual that I would not choose to look at that. I would choose to look at yours because my eye would see that right away. But how did you get started as a young man or a young child? Did you start with crayons? How did you do this?
I got several questions that I got to answer now. Let's begin with the one that Al was talking about. I want to go back on this. The most important, what I am or what has happened to me and all that is worthless. Let's just talk about what is that I am right now and what is that I'm present right now. Presenting right now, and what is that going into our hearts right now? See, there are great artists, Van Gogh, Gauguin, there are many, many millions of great artists, and they have different ways of communicating with people. Some deal with the physical world. They reflect the physical times. They reflect the physical things that we see. They reflect the physical thing that leaves a mark in us. They do all kinds of reflection of what it is in there around them and connects with them. Now, there are these other group of artists who are going in a different way, and they are developing the connection with the soul, with the spirit, with what is not seen, what is... That's why in my paintings, you see things that I didn't even paint. All of the things that you see, I see it and get excited every time I look at it as well, because I see them for the first time, because I didn't paint them. They just appeared in there, in the mystery. That's why I call them mystical art, because they appear in the unknown, in something that is attractive, that pulls me into it. So I begin to play. I usually paint on a black canvas, and I begin in this darkness, and in that darkness I build the light, because that's where I can bring the light out. Where do you see the light? As it travels through the night. You cannot just paint light on a light. You cannot have a light in front of the sun. So my way of painting is to express what is within, and that communicates with your soul. That's why you recognize the paintings. Everybody tells me, were you in my dream? How did you read my dream? Because you're painting exactly my dream. And I'm telling them, I don't even know what I'm painting. If I'm thinking what I'm painting, I'm going to screw it up anyway. The moment I think what I paint, I ruin everything. When I don't think what I paint, when I'm in that ecstatic state that you build into it and has nothing to do with anything in life. Sometimes you can build into it in a second, sometimes take days to get into that zone. But once you're in that zone, when you are the goddess of wisdom, when you become Sophia, when you become Krishna, when you become the power, when you become Khizr, as the Sufis say, when you become the muse, that is when things take place. When there is an attraction, you move towards it. That is the beginning of creativity. Creativity begins with destruction. If you want to create, destroy. That's all you have to do. It's so easy. If I want to build a cup, I got to watch out that this cup is going to be like this, this cup is going to be like that, the shape is going to be like that, the bottom. So I'm very careful. I'm working within a limitation. But if I want to break a glass, I just get a hammer and hit it, and I break it or just drop it on the floor. And I don't care where it lands or where the pieces go. So there is unlimited world in the destruction. But then if you want to go into construction, then you're dealing with limitations. So you want to move towards the freedom. You begin with destruction. What do you destroy? When I paint and when I teach to my students or in my retreats or whatever, you know, I talk about, I teach them, just begin on the canvas and pour out whatever you hate. Begin to destroy everything. Say, you know, Dad, you did this to me. I'm going to do this to you. And just get some paint and do your way of revenging that. And keep on doing these things over and over until you have no idea what you're doing. And you forget about all of those that are inside you that are ugliness, which is the copper of you. And now the glow is coming into you. How does it come? The great mystic Hafiz says, the intimacy of heart, the intimacy of the heart is not the place for arguments. When the evil leaves, the angel arrives.
Yes, you're right.
Our job
you're
is to
really
get rid
right.
of
it. Yes. Yeah.
And
yeah,
and
but
this is
don't you not like
creative act
for some, you can relate a little bit to me with this because you know we all have that time and during the day maybe Al can attest to this too that this is not a good day. Okay, if it's not a good day, I always say to myself, stop what you're doing. Go, you know, I have a cat. Go sit on your couch. Talk to your cat. Go sit outside. Go enjoy the breeze, the birds. I have hummingbirds and all of that. And pretty soon, and it's almost like your art. Pretty soon, you don't feel that what you had when you went outside. I mean, it changes. And I really think for you, and I'm just going to give you my own idea on this. I think for you, when you sit down to work with canvas, you're right, you don't really know what you're doing. I mean, not that you don't know what you're doing, but you're not. It's coming from within. True? Everything that you do is coming from within. I can tell that just by looking at your work because I am drawn. There's one here I'm really drawn to a lot, and but again, it's the colors for me. But is that how you begin when you paint? You have a blank mind. You don't think about anything. You leave everything past. You close the door. You're alone. Is that how you begin to paint all of this beautiful stuff?
If I told you, it's just actually all I do. All I do is to get myself out of my rational thinking. That's all I do. Everything that I do, I move things around, I rearrange my paint and brushes and clean up my palette and sand the canvas and move around and dance to the music. And I just keep on doing this. And the rhythm of music puts me into the flow. When I'm in the flow, then I get deeper into the heart of the flow, because it's in the middle of the river when the water goes faster and is warmer and is much more effective than on the edges of the river that comes to freezing. So I begin to pull myself in the center of that flow, in the center of that muse, in the center of what I was talking about as the, you know, Krishna. So as I'm getting in the center of that, then I get lost, because once you're in the center, you're in the flow, and you don't even know yourself from your neighbor or anything, so your skin is gone. So you're in that flow that you have no idea where you're going, what's happening, and at that point, my hand grabs paint, and I usually paint with rags and fingers. My brushes are only the very last thing that I use when I want to do the real nice technical, you know, editing. But while I'm creating, it's only with rags and fingers. Fingers take my sensation onto the canvas, and rags takes me to the limitless world, because I have no control. It when I have a big piece of rag in my hand and with the paint on it, and I put it on canvas, I have no control of where it goes or what it comes out of it. So at that point, this whole play begins as the paint flies and flows on the canvas and changes colors on the canvas. And I'm just doing exactly what a player is doing with a ball. I'm just following the ball. And I'm just going in there, and I'm just taking dictation. I don't even know what the hell is being said. I'm just taking dictation.
How cute is that? Yeah. You're like in a zone. You're like you're channeling stuff. I mean, it's just, you're unaware of everything around you, correct?
I cannot even call it channeling, because I don't even know what it is, because it's a feeling, and you cannot express a feeling unless somebody has felt it. If you have felt that feeling, you know what I'm talking about. But if you haven't, even if I write 10,000 books, you still cannot figure out what is that I'm talking about. So when you're in that zone, that you lose your limits, you lose your boundaries, you have removed the veil from yourself, you've become naked into the heart of nakedness. At that point, you not even care about, am I in the abyss or in the zenith? At that point, you have no idea where you are, what you're doing. So all it is just you become like a mailman who just carries the mail from somewhere to deliver it to other place, and has no right to open their mail and see what is in it. And on top of that, when the mail is delivered, he has no right to stand in there and find out what was in that letter. So I have no right to sit down and decide what I have painted. It just pours out of there. And every time that I look at it, I see something new. The first time that I see it is the next day. When the painting is done, I'm so exhausted. I just fall down with exhaustion, because physical body cannot handle so much energy. I keep on drinking water, and I'm dehydrated, and my wife runs away from me because I'm overheated. I'm like a radiator.
How cute is that?
So, resuming, I was, when you were talking about destroy and destruction, I had a huge smile on my face, because you reminded me of our talk, you know, years ago. How did you arrive at that inspiration? What inspired you to understand about destruction?
Okay. You see, let's imagine that I'm going to go back to the example of the flow that I was using the river as the example. Let's stay with that. The river is flowing. Let's call that river the energy of creativity. See, we're not creative. Nobody is creative. We're just made to become creative. That means we're made to get into that flow. So imagine, as human being, or we're on the edge of the river, And there are things that are blocking the way to get to the flow. And these are that blocking or begin with our mothers and fathers telling us, no, don't do that, and yes, do this, and goes on and on and on and on. And there are these rocks, some of them are huge, some of them, most of them stop us from getting into that flow. So we become consumers of what is around us. That's all we care about, to make enough money so you have more stuff, and you just build on the stuff. So what happens, at some point, you want to get into that river. And getting into that river is to remove the blocks. Those blocks has to be destroyed. So that's how you begin the creative move, by destroying what is blocking you from being open to the power of creativity. So I begin to destroy that cage. I unlock that cage that holds my power inside and does not come out. And this is where we begin with the destruction. When the power is out, you don't need to guide it. The power is far greater than we can even imagine. All I have to do is to let the power out, and to let the power out, I have to destroy whatever is blocking that power. So the act of creativity begins with destruction. In my book of creativity, I write on this chapter, I emphasize on that chapter very heavily, because this is what we make a mistake. We try to make things, and making things brings us suffering. Because we go through making a living, making furniture, making a home, making this. And all it does is you go through suffering, and when you have it, it's too late. And you're not really enjoying it. Why not enjoy the whole process of it and don't even care about what I make or I don't make? My final book that I have told my publisher that would be published is what I titled Notes for a Trash Can. And that is exactly what I do. A lot of time I just write things that is only to be thrown in the trash because there is no use of connecting to anything. And I write these notes. And these notes, some of them have some ideas because they come to me. And these ideas, sometimes I read them and I say, oh my God, I gotta follow this. It's a statement that is telling me, it's a manifestation of some kind of a mission that is being given to me. And this is where I paint. I don't paint to sell. My pride, my honor, is that I have not sold a single painting. People buy my paintings. I never go after selling any of them. I paint and I send it out to my collectors, to different people, and somebody somewhere decides that I want to buy it. And they buy it. And if they don't, I keep it in here and I have a good time with them. But the idea is that I'm a lover and I make love. And I recommend that to everybody. I don't care who you are, at what level, or age, or class, or whatever you are. Life is nothing but joy. And if you are not using a moment of it, your life is, that moment is wasted. So.
Well, I can attest to that. I agree. I mean, oftentimes we get caught up, you're right, we get caught up in what's going on, and we don't sit back and look around and be happy with what we have. Most people always want more and more and more. There's only one thing in my life that's missing, but I feel I have everything, you know, really. I mean, Al knows me pretty well. He's never seen me, but he knows me pretty well. And even the listeners know me pretty well. Don't you think we all have areas of our life that, no, I just answered my own question. We want to control it, and we can't control it. You just cannot control your life. There it is. I answered it. You got to just let it flow. Don't try to let the train go. Let it just get on the car and let it take you where it's going to take you. That's how it should be. But most people are not like that, Rizzulli. They miss out on spirituality, on getting ideas, on their creativity. I have this book that I'm trying to write. I've got it all in my head. You know, it's just the beginning and the ending. I even know the ending. But, I mean, it's just the dialogue. And actually, I don't even have to do a dialogue. I can do it in the third person if I want and just tell the story. But it's like a fairy tale. So that's part of my creativity. And you've heard of writer's block, but I don't think it's writer's block, not with me. This is my first endeavor writing anything. And so I don't think that. Mine is coming from within. Maybe that's why it's so hard to actually get it done. I mean, I started it.
Okay, I'm just thinking that, let's say, I don't know how many listeners you are. I don't know anything about anything. You know that. But here's my suggestion. If you gather a group together of, let's say, about 30 to 50 people, minimum about 30 people, and whatever up there is okay, get a group of people together who are feeling that I have so much creative power within me, but somehow there is this tremendous block that has been along the path, and I cannot go around it, and I am incapable, and I have just kept myself satisfied with consumership. So if you bring that numbers of people together, I come in there wherever you want, in a hotel or wherever, in somebody's house, and I'll share with you within a period of time how you can turn that, bust that block and flow in the creative power. I'll guarantee doing that. I don't want any money from anybody. All I want in return is that you spread the idea around, and you don't even need to mention my name or anything. Just the concept that we create constantly. When I walk in my closet in the morning to pick up my shirt and my pants, I am creating. I'm choosing between these and those and those.
What a beautiful way to look at things. Huh, Al? Listen to how he talks.
When
your wife is very lucky indeed, because you have such a spiritual look on life, and oftentimes we are not with another spiritual person, maybe not like ourselves. She must be really something. She's very, very lucky to have you.
You know what? I want to share something else in here, which I think is even more valuable than that. See, I have not been gifted with any of these. I've gone through the tests and the suffering and the starvation of an artist and the problems that has taken me into suicidal levels and everything, not because of anything, but because I was to be tested. So I would become where I am right now to share the experience with others. My mission is to share my experience. I am living a world that is ideal in the dream of people to live in this world, but they don't know that it's right there, right in their hand. It's not even, they don't even have to look anywhere far away for it. All there is to recognize that fact. And my mission is not to teach anybody anything, because I am not a teacher. I am inspirational person. I can share with people, and I open the door to the cage, and then that child that is inside got to come out. This is, so I'm saying that, make this a pro. I don't know how many people are listening or anything. See if you can gather about 30 to, 30 people up, so at least it would pay for my trip to wherever I'm supposed to go, for whatever period that I could stay with somebody, or I could drive or whatever. But the idea is to open up that channel that takes us out of this consumership that is killing us, is suffocating us, and more. And the artists are the most to blame than anybody else in the world, because we are supposed to be the guides. We're supposed to lead them, guide them, show them the way. the way comes through us. Through us. I don't think about the way. A businessman thinks about a way. A religious person thinks about a way. A politician thinks about the way. But I don't think about the way. I just give the possibilities. I give you beauty. Somebody gives you ugliness. We're both artists, and we both work for the divine power. One has to show the darkness. One has to show the light. But the beauty of it is this. We don't need an awakened person for every other person who is asleep. We could have million people who are sleeping with only one awakened one. That's all we need. So the public in general don't need to know these things. It doesn't work for them. They have to be the rhythm of life. They have to be a part of the rhythm of life. But we, as the ones that foresee the future, not because of our mind, is because we have opened our heart to receive that power from within that guides us. We have to put that out. This is my job. Al invites me through you to come in there because of that. Nobody gives a damn where I was born, where I came from, what I'm doing. All of these is worth nothing. Who am I? Nothing. But what is important is
life. Well, you're something to me. I'm going to tell you that. I love your work. Go ahead, and I love to hear you. Keep talking. This is good. Don't stop. Keep telling about your stuff, you know, because it really, the hour is for you. I mean, yeah, Natalie opens it up and asks questions and all that, but people want to hear about you. Who's ever on with me for that hour, and I think Al agrees, only you can tell about you. I mean, I'm not going to ask you all the questions till the sky falls. It's not going to mean anything because you know what you want to say. So I love hearing you talk, and I think Al agrees with me that you should just continue talking. This is wonderful. Don't you think, Al?
Absolutely.
Al, you had some other issue that you were talking about but from the past interview we had.
No, I just want to know. It wasn't an issue. It's just that you touched on the subject of destruction and destroying, and I'm glad you talked about that because it brought a smile back to my face because I have never heard anyone ever speak the way you do, and that was a very profound moment a few years ago, and I'm glad you spoke about it again today. But my question is how did you arrive at the inspiration of destroy and destruction? How did you, what sparked for you to understand that?
Well, I'll tell you one of the experiences because, you know, I saw these build up in times and then there is finally this straw that, you know, breaks the back of the camel. But I had been developed into it until one night, one of my collectors, had wanted me to do a portrait of his wife for their anniversary. And I was working on that portrait, and I couldn't make her look like her. And I would just wash the paint and repaint again and over and over and over and over, and it just didn't look like her. And I said, you know what the hell, I cannot do it. And I gave up. And I went and sat on my seat in my library, and I picked up a book of Rumi, and I opened it. I figured, you know, these words that come through those greats obviously are not the rational words. When the guy does never even write, he's just dancing and the words are pouring out of him, you know that he is not a writer writing something or a poet writing a poem. So Rumi, as I'm looking at it, I'm opening the book and I want to get an answer from Rumi. And I receive this word from directly, the page opens to a poem that begins with the breath that you are aware of yourself, the beloved, becomes like a thorn. And the breath that you are without yourself, you don't need the beloved anymore. The reason that you are not stable is because you're looking for stability. Let go of the idea of stability so you would become stable. To me, that was what I wanted to hear. Just told me that, hey, look, get back in there. Stop thinking that you want to make this portrait look like her and just have fun painting.
Right. Exactly.
And that is the straw that took me in that zone. From that moment on, it's been my heart guiding me. And I just follow it. And I cannot tell you that I always do that, because there are times that it's very difficult to get to that point. But I, these days, fortunately, I'm in a position that I can put some of my paintings away without even having to exhibit it. Because some that I want to share with my clients is enough for me to pay me for my life, and I don't need more than that. And on Sundays, I go by the Pacific Ocean in Malibu.
Mm-hmm.
And I sit on the peak, on a high point that's called Point Doom. That's where they were watching the ships coming from all around on the Pacific. And I sit there, and it's still dark. It's Sunday morning, and I'm going for my Sunday meditation. And I go in the darkness until I reach there, and I never carry a flashlight with me because I love the darkness. And I sit there, and I begin to experience as the light comes in the sky, and the blues turns into yellows, and the yellows into oranges, and the oranges into reds, and there is the tip of that golden ball as it comes out, pours the paint all over the ocean. And I'm sitting in there, and I'm one with the ocean and the birds and the flowers around me and the dirt and everything that is there. None of us is thinking that I'm different from the other one. We're all waiting for the appearance of the beloved.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah.
I've been fortunate enough that I did see, well, I don't know who you call the one. Depends upon what you believe in. But I did see Jesus. And God appeared to me not what God looks like. It was a giant crystal that was a golden color that my whole room was glowing. I felt that was either God or one of the archangels that came to visit me to really heal me, because I was dying and I was at home. And so it's strange how things happen. See, Al brought you to me, and now I've got people listening, and they listen even during the week, Rizzulli. They don't necessarily, and I've got people tonight listening from Facebook, and I know one, she's going to tell me, well, you did a good job tonight again, Natalie. It's my Natalie. But, you have to come from that place within, and if you can't do that, and I don't think we can do that every moment of the day. Do you? I mean, there are times when you kind of wander off and, God, I really want to do that, or I really want to go here for dinner. I mean, you cannot always come from that place within. You can really try, but for me, it just has to be a natural thing. But getting back to seeing Jesus at a time when he came to me in a dream once and brought his apostles with him because he knew that I didn't believe it was him. And then another time when I was taking care of my then ill husband, actually, he got me out of this moment where here I am sitting on the floor, and Al's heard this, in the bathroom, sobbing. The door was locked, and my husband had Alzheimer's, a really bad kind. But anyways, he's pounding on the door, and I'm sitting there holding my head thinking, I'm never going to get through this. How am I going to ever, when is this going to be over for me? And I looked at the floor, and I saw the feet of Jesus. As soon as I saw that, Rizuli, I got up, no more crying. I opened the door. I was good to go. Now, not everybody gets moments like that in time that they can say that they've done that. But I've seen an awful lot and been very, very blessed. So, but I cannot do what you do at all. I don't think Al can either, because I think you're very, very spiritual and very, very gifted. And you show it in the work that you do. Because like you said, you don't sit there and say, well, I think I'm going to draw a crystal today, because I'm looking at one right now that's here. I bet you any money that was not in your mind to paint that. Or I'm going to paint this today. Because you just go with the flow, don't you? You just take your paints and your cloths and your brushes, whatever you want to use. Even you could use your, I bet you use your hands too. I just see you doing that. And you just sit there and you create, and then you're done and you look at it and say, well, how in the world did I do that? I don't even know how I did it. I don't know. But you know what? It doesn't really matter, because I'm telling you, your work is inspirational to me. It really is. It's got to have had an effect on me. I don't know about you, Al. Have you seen the work that he's done? Well, you've seen it up close and personal, right? You've actually seen it. But have you gone to his website? I mean, I can't praise you enough, Rizuli, for what you've done and what you're doing. And there's a lot more for you to do. Now, that's all I'm going to say, because I said enough already. I talk too much. But I speak from within, and I have. I admire you. I couldn't do any of this. I can't even.
Oh, well, no. I won't accept that. You see, the whole idea is that.
I won't accept that. Well, you know what? I'm going to write this fairy tale. This fairy tale, we won't go into depth about it, but it's about myself and somebody else. And I'm going to have my 14-year-old granddaughter give me her kind of insight, her little things that she thinks, well, Graham, I think maybe you should go this way. Because I want her views, because I want it to be for people even her age, not only adults, but I'm bringing her into this. And but I can't paint like this. Do this to save my soul. I'd be up day and night for 10 days straight probably. I couldn't do it.
Well,
but the word can't is not in your vocabulary, is it?
No, because it's not about doing anything anyway. It's about undoing things. It's not about learning. It's about forgetting. It's about not making. It's about destroying. It's about the limitations, not about the freedom. It's about how we do that. It's about how we make that transition in our life. I am not, that's why I don't accept what you're saying, because I've gone through that just not too long ago. I was starved. At night, I would hit my head against the wall and I cry out of hunger.
Right.
It's not that fairy godmother came and blessed me with this whole thing. I've gone through the path, and I've gone through the path because I can now be right here talking with you and Al and tell you that I'm willing to come any part of the world that you tell me if you get enough people at least to pay for my trip. So I won't feel
That would be nice. We'll see.
Just find out from your...
Yeah,
just find from your listeners, and let's do that, and I'll have my agent take care of it with you, so you don't have to get involved with me. And just talk with her and make arrangements with her, and everything, we'll do it with the people that you know you could get together. If you come to L.A., I know so many places that we could do it in here, and that would be even cheaper. So we could do that.
Yeah. Perhaps someday we can.
Why don't you just make arrangements?
You know, I have things coming to me all the time about visions about what I'm going to be doing. I'm just not quite there yet, and I don't have that person with me yet. But as soon as that happens, the sky's the limit.
Hang on.
I can do anything.
Hang on. Hang on for a second. I won't allow you to say that. I'm going to stop you right here and say that at this point, I'm going to tempt you to do it. And you know how I'm going to do it? You do this thing, and I guarantee that you're going to finish your book in about 4 months. Okay? I guarantee that you will finish your book. Is that incentive enough for you?
Oh, I do want to finish it. Yes, yes, I do. I really do. Yes. I have the cover of the book in my head. I know exactly what I want. I know what the back is going to look like. I have a couple of names for it. But you know, what I do, I will tell you all that I do. I don't just sit and do nothing. I mean, I have 3 sites that I'm taking care of in my magazine, and I'm going to feature you in my next issue, if that's okay with you. I'll get all the information off your sites. It's in the August issue. And maybe bring some people to you, and we'll communicate about that, because I don't put it up until August 1st or July 31st, so we have some time. But I want to do that for you also.
If I can
get it all together and everything is flying right for me, that would be wonderful. I would like to come out there, actually. I'm in South Carolina. And we're in the upper 90s here. You're probably a lot cooler than we are right now. And we have all the humidity you could ever want. So upper 90s today. And I don't know, 120. Very warm here. So, pardon me?
Yeah, but we still have time. I mean, we don't have to do it in the middle of the heat of the summer. We could arrange it for the fall.
No. But it's something to plant the seed. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Well, I get to meet Al. I've never met him. I've only talked to him on the phone. Right, Al?
All right. I'm gonna give you another incentive. Okay. Let's see how this works. If once you set that program, and I guarantee you're gonna finish your book in 4 months, I do a special cover for your book, just for your book. I paint a special cover for your book, free of charge, okay? Free of charge. I won't charge you. I would do it for your book, just in case you finish the book in 4 months.
Okay. That's a deal.
All right.
That's a challenge, Natalie. That's a challenge. You know what, Philly?
Has anybody ever done a book cover before the inside of the book? I don't know. I bet you they have.
Rasuli, can I ask you a question? Would you be willing to come to Baja?
Me? Maybe one day, yeah. Maybe one day. You're talking to Rasuli?
I'm asking Rasuli, yes.
You know what, Al, I would be available for you as well. Don't think that I'm just, you know, right now I'm just talking to both of you. So Natalie and you are the same. Because I don't even know, you know, by look who you are or what you are. But the thing is that the idea is not about anything but about making everybody, I assure everyone that I would make them create something new, something special, something that has been in their dream and they have not somehow, just like Natalie says, they have 3 websites to attend to. They got all kinds of stuff that they got to do, cooking and all that stuff. But you know what? Love does not understand any of these things.
I know that. No, you
love is
that.
Always in love, and love knows the way, and love takes us around, and love takes us where we need to go. Do a verse of Rumi for you. من غلام قمرم غیر قمر هیچ مگو پیش من جز سخن شهد و شکر هیچ مگو. I am devoted to love. Don't speak to me of anything but love. Don't talk about pain. Only speak of joy. And if you can't, don't bother. Don't bother. Don't speak at all. We need to put love into our life. Love brings us joy. Love is what we need, and love is what we're missing in our life. We have mixed it with passion, and we're passionate about things, and we call it love. We are passionate about baked potatoes, and we say, I love baked potatoes. It's not about, love is not about something that I've got to do it, you know, part-time. I got to do it whenever I have the time for it. Love is to just love, is to surrender, is to surrender with joy. Love is not something from three-dimensional world or related to that. Love is something that we need to get drowned in. It is like a morning shower. You don't count how many drops of water drips on my head. You just surrender to that flow, and you let it cover you and give you that joy. This is what love is. And what we are to do, my mission is to do, you know, the old cars, we used to have these old cars where we had to turn our head back to see who's behind us when we change the lane, especially if you live in LA on the freeway. You want to change the lane, you had to look back, and there was a blind, you know, spot in there that you had to bend and see. And then they put the side mirrors and the adjustable side mirrors, and that helped us, and we felt better. And now they've come up with these lights, which is on your mirrors. And when there's somebody on that lane, then the light comes on, and you don't have to, you know that you cannot turn because you're going to turn in front of somebody else. So you don't have to turn back and see it. There's that blind spot in everybody's life. There's that blind spot. What we are is that light on the mirror that blinks to tell you that there is a blind spot in there. And right now, you got to watch out for that blind spot. This is what our job is. This is what I am as an artist. I'm not here as an artist to paint in order for me to put money in my pocket. I paint because I want to communicate with people. And then I figured, wow, I'm painting, and now there's words that are coming with me as well. So I started writing them. And I wrote about Rumi, and I wrote about Hafiz, and I wrote about creativity, and I wrote about fusion art. And I kept on writing, and I published these books with my Australian publisher, Blue Angel. And then I thought, wow, you know, I paint and I write, and I got to bring them together. So I began to do these oracle cards. That one side of a card is one of my paintings, and the other side is a quotation from one of the great mystics. And you read the quotation, and that leads you to a page in a little book that is in that same container. And that tells you more about that concept. Now I have a painting and the words that have come together at the same time in one. And that is so exciting for me. That is putting my life into it, because I feel like, wow, this is something that I can really communicate with people. So that's my new work that I'm doing, and I'm having a good time. So if you go to my website, you know, you will find them. And it would be interesting.
Yeah, is this the one that's avatarfinearts.com?
Yes, right.
Because
yeah. If you go to
the Rumi Oracle,
Avatar.
Is that the one you're talking about?
Yeah, that's the one. There's a page which is about my books and the cards,
yes.
Books and all that. When you go to that page, you can see some of those. And those are where my paintings and my words come together. Sometimes it's my paintings with some other people's words. But the whole idea is they're sort of inspirational type of things. They're not motivational. If you want to find step one, step two, step three, don't go that way. But if you want to be inspired to do something through your heart with love, then you come to my type of writing and my type of talks. But my way of talking is to make you feel excited to move on to do something. I'm not telling you that you have to start fasting from today on, and then on the 10th day you do this and then do that in order to achieve something. No, that's not the case. My way is to show you this is how I've done it. This is how Rumi did it. This is how Hafiz did it. This is how these people did it. And then you have your way of deciding which one you can fit the best. And this is where I want to gather your group together. And by the way, send the information to me too, so I would post it on my, on my things, and I send it to Avatar.
Right.
So they
right.
would post it, and then we can get that thing going. I don't know.
Okay, well, it sounds really wonderful to me. We're near the end here, and I want to thank you, Razuli, for coming on the show. And Al, thank you, thank you, thank you always. Al has been introducing me to all kinds of people. He said, wait, you ain't seen nothing yet. So, you know, I'm always open to talk. I can talk to anybody. Bring them on. I'll talk to them. Doesn't matter. Al knows I can talk to anybody. I'm not shy. Maybe in person I might be a little bit more shy than I am on the phone. But I hope you enjoyed this, Razuli. I really did. And I love your work. And I'm going to tell everybody, go to Avatar, AVATARFINE arts.com, and you're going to see all of his work that he's done. And then you could also go to, he's got another site, is Razuli, RASSOULI.com. That's his gallery of all of his paintings that he's done. And I'm assuming, now you have to tell me, people can buy what they see on this website, these paintings? Is that true?
Oh, yes, they could buy it from Avatar. And by the way, you know, okay. they could buy it from Amazon and other places. All you have to do is just go on Google and put down Razuli in the search window, and you're going to see hundreds of thousands of sites that would refer
okay.
you to my works, and you can get into it. Or go to YouTube and put down Razuli, RASSOULI, and then you would find thousands of videos which relates to my talks and my paintings and all of that. So that's very easy. You don't have to memorize anything. Just put on Razuli and you get to them.
You're called Razuli and I call you Razuli, which is wrong, right? It should be Razuli,
right?
Okay?
I'm out of the zoo now, so I'm Razuli. I'm Razuli.
Well, Al, thank you again, okay? Thank you for coming in. I think we've got somebody lined up in a couple of weeks. I have two authors back-to-back the next 2 weeks, and then Marilyn Wild is going to be on August 1st, and Marilyn Wid, I should say, not Wild, Wid, is our guest together, and then we have others coming up. So thank you again, both of you. Have a great evening, and as I always end my shows, please believe in things you cannot see. They really are there. Bye-bye.